For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God.
Read it again. Read it.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Wow. When I first heard her in that play, she came out and just was such poise and that voice and the songs that she sang, and I was overwhelmed. And I think about younger, so many times running around here at Mount Calvary, and her and her brother and Jessup, it brought such wonderful memories, and to see how folks just grow in the Lord. I like this church. I do. Good thing. I'd say it's a good thing. Good thing. Because I love the freedom that God's Holy Spirit allows us within these walls. Come in to be yourself, to share things. And I know it just seemed this morning when Matt was sharing on his prayer request, my heart was just being moved and moved. And I was sitting there with tears in my eyes about some of the things that people were mentioning. And especially it seemed like we had prayer requests today and they were focused around hardship on young folks and family members, and just touched me. The week has been, as I mentioned to you before, kind of busy, a lot of things going on. And on Friday night, the concert here was just an uplifting to my soul and everybody who was in attendance. During the week, when I was over at the condominiums, which I managed, there was some difficulty, had a little problem, and there was an individual who made a trip to the office just to come in and tell me how foolish I'd been. I guess they were led. Wasn't Matt, he wouldn't have been here today if it had been. And then I had verses to share with, some things that I had from last week. But then, for some reason, this verse just started to stick in my heart about foolishness, foolishness, foolishness. This preaching, they say, is foolishness. And you can almost say that here at Mount Calvary. If you hear me many times, you say, well, he's pretty foolish sometimes. Has anybody ever done anything foolish? I'm not talking about just today. You do something small, you think something that's insignificant, it can be a small card that goes out to encourage you about starfish. And I don't know which deacon did it, but their initials are Barbara Cain. I don't know who did it. I don't know who did it. I have no idea. Foolishness. 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 If I had a title for this sermon this morning, I'd put it Dead Horses and Donuts. At least got one guy's attention over there. There are things in life that we do, and you know we're all so guilty of it certain times, where we do something that's just absolutely foolish. Mike is, last week when he sent me that little joke about, you know, praying for the guy who lost his job at the orange juice factory because he couldn't concentrate, and I've got a lot of mileage out of that, Mike. I've got mileage upon mileage on that. I used it in the wedding yesterday. Wow. It was somewhere between the rich or poor, but I'm not sure. Foolishness. 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 I started off by telling Terry this morning that, and we got in this major discussion about how I heard that if you cut out donuts, if you cut out donuts out of your diet, that you can possibly extend your life by 2 years. And we got into this discussion. And basically, Terry said, look, he said, I'm going to keep eating donuts until I die. Then, Charlie, if you do that, you're going to have to wait another 2 years without donuts before you die. Foolishness. 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 So since I had someone come into my office and tell me how foolish I was this week, I'm going to tell you how foolish you are. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
You're foolish enough to gather every week in God's house to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. And you're foolish enough to think that when you walk in, that you are going to feel something from God in His Holy Spirit. That's how foolish you are. That's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, folks. Sorry. You are foolish enough to raise your hand and to lift up needs that you have in your heart, fully believing of a loving God who hears and answers. Because so many of you could stand up right now and testify about how God has touched you and has brought wonderful answers to the needs that you've had in your life. You've been foolish enough to forgive those who have wronged you. Because in God's word, it says to forgive 7 times 70. Just keep on forgiving those that might not have treated you the way you should have been treated. You're foolish enough that when somebody needs a shirt, that you also give them your coat. Because that's what God's word says to do. I am standing in front of the most foolish, generous church that I've ever known in my life. And I praise God for it. We even got enough. We paid the water bill. I can hear the toilet flushing as we speak. Amen. Love that guy. We're foolish enough when we go out of this place and you go to a restaurant, you don't bark at the wait staff just because there's a little mistake in the meal that they're supposed to bring you. You rise above that and you give words of encouragement for those who God has appointed to wait upon. You're foolish enough to pray for those who are in authority over you. Even after the election. I didn't hear one amen on that thing. Whoa! Well, preacher, you've gone from preaching to meddling. That's how foolish you are. You're foolish enough to allow people to cut in line when you're driving, you know. Don't try to race and get in front of them and cut them off and all like that, you know. I'm going... Oh, Charlie had to bring that up on Sunday morning. I feel so bad. That's how foolish you are. You know, I feel awkward. Sometimes yesterday I was down. I was getting ready to do the wedding. I got down there earlier and I thought for the traffic. And I was sitting and I was in my vehicle, and I was going over some notes in the steering wheel, so I had the bright idea that I'm going to go around and sit on the passenger side. So I open the door, and I'm sitting in the passenger side of my vehicle. Somebody drives up and looks at me and goes, why are you sitting in the passenger side of the vehicle? I said, well, I wanted this side of the vehicle, the chair, to be just as worn as that side. They didn't believe that. And I felt a little awkward when I was sitting there because I never sit on the passenger side. Now, when Hunter's driving, and that doesn't count because I'm in total prayer when he's driving. So I never quite get that feeling of how it is to sit there in the passenger side there in my own vehicle. I felt a little foolish, but it was okay. You are foolish enough to believe that a God would send his son to die upon a cross, to take my sin and your sin away. On Monday, I was able to meet some wonderful folks at Danielle's retirement, and I especially enjoyed getting a few minutes to share with the pastor that she has in Ohio. He was such a genuine, warm man, and I got to sit there and chat with him, and boy, it just seemed like, you know, you meet somebody and you just seem like you just, you know, you just fit, and it was good. And I was complimenting on his work, and he said, "Brother, I know that you're doing wonderful work there." He says, "I'm already starting to hear." And he said, "Boy, isn't it wonderful that we're both working on the same team here?" And we just kind of hit it off. And he had a wonderful sense of humor and a big smile. I was foolish enough to realize that I had made another friend in Christ. And I was blessed because of it. Foolish enough to believe that he died for you. Not because of what I feel. Nope. Not even because of my faith. Because if you turn over to 1 John and the 5th chapter and the 4th verse, you'll say that he praises for the victory that is even greater than our faith. Sometimes my feelings are here, my feelings are down there. Sometimes my faith is strong, sometimes my faith is challenged. But what God says in his word never changes. It is the truth that we stand upon, and to the world it is looked at as foolishness. Yesterday during the memorial service, heard a wonderful invitation. Last Sunday night, some of the guys got to go down to Fredericksburg, and the pastor at Kings Highway Baptist Church, he gave a wonderful invitation. And with every eye closed and every head bowed, there were 18 people who raised their hands and said, "Preacher, pray for me because I've not said before, Jesus, come into my heart." It may seem like foolish, folks, but it is the thing that we base everything we do upon. And I know on Wednesday night when Mike was teaching just a week and a half ago like that, and that wonderful question that was presented, you have to simply ask Jesus to come into your heart. You have to know that you're a sinner. And I'm here to tell you that each and every one of you, sinners, but we are simply saved by grace. Amen? Amen. You asked him to come in. You ask him to do something that is foolish. Take away my sin. Put me on that road to eternal life, to salvation. And then you say, "God, I just want to do something." It says that you have to announce him before men. You got to be willing to say, I did this. And there's a great way of doing it. In just a moment, we're going to partake of this communion. If you've never done that, if you don't believe it in your heart or your hearts, trust me, this communion is nothing but foolishness. Because it represents a body that was broken for you. It represents a small cup of juice for the blood that was shed upon the cross. The foolishness of preaching is our strength. It's the thing that we stand upon. It's the thing that allows us to come to the throne of grace and to feel, to know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm living with the Savior in my life. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we have gathered, and God, you've just simply worked out the pieces today. You've allowed the choir members to sing so beautifully. You've allowed those that had prayer requests to be just so earnest in the way that they simply reached out to you and to share the needs they have with others. And God, we've gotten to the point of the service here where we're supposed to pray over this wafer representing the body, and we're supposed to pray over this cup of juice representing the cup. But Heavenly Father, it's also a time for us to look within our own hearts. If there be any malice, if there be any ill will, God, this is a time to just cleanse it out, Heavenly Father. And if anyone has simply never made that commitment to asking you to come into their hearts, Heavenly Father, this is the time to do it. To simply say, Jesus, I have sinned and come short of the glory that you represent. So I ask at this time that you'll simply come in, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and allow your Holy Spirit to come, live, and dwell within me. I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. I'm going to ask the deacons to come forth, and we're going to ask that you simply in all respect, to just wait until we're all served, and we'll break in.